In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Satan is the imitator of God, and Satanists are worshippers of Satan. The devil has wanted to make a church with his followers in the satanic or Luciferian sects, including all those sorcerers or individual people who, without belonging to any sect, have made a satanic pact, giving their souls to the devil. In this video, we want to clearly show that the devil is a creature of God, and that he cannot do more than what God allows him to do, and only to the extent that he allows him to. If the devil had the freedom to do what he wants without God's permission, he would kill all the true worshipers of God in an instant, starting with the priests and nuns. But God does not allow him. On the other hand, those who have gotten into the jaws of Satan with his diabolical pact, or through esoteric practices, or leading a totally disordered life away from God, they too can expect God's forgiveness, because God is greater than all our sins, however many and serious they may be. For God, nothing is impossible. There is hope for everyone, and God awaits each one of us as his children, so that we decide to love him and follow in his footsteps, regardless of our past life. Hopefully, those who have been in the jaws of Satan can come out, and once released, can tell the world that God is good and loves and forgives them and awaits them as dear children to give them eternal happiness in heaven. Some Satanists who attend satanic groups where the devil is worshipped and invoke him for help or to harm their enemies say they do not believe in the existence of God. Some affirm that they do not believe in the real existence of the devil either, but that they attend these groups to participate in the sex orgies, which take place after the Black Masses, on the nights from Saturday to Sunday, and at special parties, especially on the day of Halloween, which is Satan's party. It is precisely they and many, including Christians, who have been easily deceived by the devil. That is why the French poet Charles-Pierre Baudelaire said that the devil's greatest victory is having persuaded many people to believe that he does not exist. Of course, many Satanists do believe that God and the devil exist, but they have preferred the devil to God and believe that the devil is a real and autonomous being, in contradiction with the God of the Christians. They give their lives to him at the moment of initiation, and above all, by making a personal pact with him. For them, God is the God of moral norms and prohibitions, which do not allow man to be fully happy or develop according to his abilities, because God places many restrictions on them under penalty of sin. Instead, they consider that Satan is the God of pleasure, the God of the flesh, of full freedom, or in other words, the God of happiness. Some say that Satan is the ultimate model or example to imitate of rebellion and the search for knowledge and pleasure. These Satanists say that they flee from all that is a mental prison of any kind of oppression or totalitarianism, and from the limiting dogmas or repressions of religion. They follow what the young people of the year 1968 were shouting in France: forbidden to prohibit. For them, full freedom and unlimited enjoyment of the pleasures of life are the main goals and the meaning of their existence, without realizing that they are falling into an abyss of suffering and evil from which they will not be able to get out easily in this life, and then they may have to spend all of eternity there. For Satanists, having a good time is their goal. For them, there is no forgiveness. Jesus said, "Do to others what you want them to do to you." And the Satanists say, "Do to others what they do to you." For them, destroying someone who has hurt them is a necessity. That is why violence, revenge, and hatred are an integral part of their existence. Someone already said a long time ago that there is no healthy, resentful person, because hatred and grudges affect not only the soul, but also the body. And living in continuous violence is harmful from every point of view and produces a lot of unhappiness. This violence is not only toward those who harm them or their family, but also for those who entrust them with paid work. For money, many Satanists perform curse rituals on others and even kill them with their spells and the help of the devil. They also hate those who oppose their ideas and speak against them, beginning with the Catholic Church in general, and in particular with priests and nuns, and more specifically against exorcists. But they know very well that they must be very careful, because when making curses, these can turn like a boomerang against them if the affected person responds with prayers and exorcisms. In general, we can say that the people who belong to these groups and invoke the devil in satanic meetings and black masses are full of violence, impurity, revenge against their enemies, in a word, evil. That is the fruit of becoming a friend or disciple of the devil, even if they do not believe in him and only think that he is an abstract energy that can affect the human being, and not a spiritual and real being, as the Catholic Church has always taught. Let us also say that all the followers of Satan have unfortunately been deceived by Satan himself, with the lure or bait that they will be superior beings, with more powers, and will be freer and happier to enjoy all the pleasures of life. This was also the trick to deceive our first parents, Adam and Eve. Let's read chapter 3 of the book of Genesis in the Bible. It is a text that cannot be understood literally, but it is clear in its content. The devil does not appear directly as he is. He appears disguised in the form of a snake, and he says to Eve, "So God has forbidden you to eat from all the trees in the garden? He doesn't want you to enjoy all those pleasures?" Eve replies, "No, we can eat from all of them, except from the tree of good and evil, which is in the center of paradise." The devil insists, "Of course, it is that God is bad, because he does not want you to be free and happy. He knows that if you eat this fruit, it is something symbolic to indicate the sin of disobedience. You will be superior beings equal to him. You will be fully free without depending on him, and you will be entirely happy. And he does not want competition and forbids you this and that. Free yourself from God and act freely without any restrictions. Be happy. You have the right to be happy." Eve thinks about it and tells Adam, and they both go to see the forbidden tree, and they believe that it is good to look at, and it must be very good to eat. And in addition, it will give them freedom and total happiness. And they decide to eat it. And then comes the great disaster with tragic consequences for all humanity, which inherited the consequences of that sin from Adam and Eve. They had been immaculately conceived like the Virgin Mary, without any sin, and they transmitted to their descendants the consequences of that sin, so that we are no longer immaculately conceived, with a soul full of God, full of love, full of light, but with an empty soul, without God, without love, and without light. And to recover that light and that love, we need the baptism of water, or of desire, or of blood. In addition, we have to suffer many bodily ills, and even death, which had not existed before. The gift of infused science, or in other words, the natural knowledge of many things in nature, and the gift of integrity, which is a psychological balance that we now do not have, were also lost. In other words, instead of being freer and happier, Adam and Eve became slaves of the devil until their repentance, and they became more unhappy and more inferior in power than they were before, with the lost preternatural gifts. This trick continues to be used by Satan and continues to bear fruit. The human being is so gullible that he is easily deceived. The devil keeps telling men, God is bad. He doesn't want you to be a superior being and to overcome yourself with the development of your reason and superior powers, which you can achieve with magic, divination, spiritism, Satanism, or esoteric things. God is bad because he imposes many prohibitions and moral norms on you and does not let you be free. So you can never be fully happy. Free yourself from God. Live your life freely, without moral restrictions. Do what you want. Anything goes. You have the right to be happy. And whoever hurts you, destroy him. To your enemies, do not forgive them, nor have compassion on them. And you will see how you are a superior and fully happy being. I promise you. And many fall into the trap of Satan and believe it. And they move away from God and fall into the abuse of alcohol, drugs, sex, and all kinds of sexual perversions, and other vices, such as betting or gambling in casinos. And if they don't have money, anything goes as long as they have it to enjoy life, even if it means stealing for drugs, or hurting someone, or doing satanic work for others. In short, instead of being free, they fall into the slavery of their own vices and passions, and instead of being happier, they become more unhappy. And they have such a deep existential emptiness that it leads many to take their own lives or to join criminal groups in order to get what is necessary for their vices. And the text of Genesis concludes, saying that God cursed the serpent. Cursed you will be. And what will become of those who follow the serpent? Will they be happy following a cursed one? Because the devil is not an independent and autonomous being that can do whatever he wants. He is a creature of God and depends on God and has power to the extent that God gives it to him and to the extent that he allows it. Therefore, to follow a little god without his own power is to go astray. We could ask ourselves, why does God allow the devil to tempt us and harm us? God has created us free and respects our freedom to follow good or evil. He answers us in the Bible. God allows everything for our good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And St. Augustine of Hippo said, God would not allow evils if he did not get more good out of those same evils. Therefore, God allows everything so that we can grow in his love and be free by choice and not by obligation. He wants us to be free and happy beings as far as possible in this world. For this reason, the great mystery of human suffering is revealed before the mystery of human freedom. God respects our freedom and does not want to force anyone to love him or obey his rules. But through our conscience, he makes us feel remorse and empty if we go astray, to have the opportunity to amend. In addition, Jesus Christ came to earth to make sense of suffering and save us through it. Thus, he made us understand that suffering is not something absurd and meaningless, but that if we accept it and offer it with love, it helps us to grow spiritually in the face of eternal life. Therefore, we can think that God is not a bad God for allowing the suffering of children and innocent people, because for a little time of suffering in this world, he will give us a reward of happiness for all eternity. And here are some bonus questions and answers. Can anyone consider themselves to be in a state of grace after going directly to Jesus for forgiveness instead of doing confession, even after having mortal sin? No. The repentance for having committed a sin is born in our hearts, and the mercy of God covers us in this stage. Therefore, it is necessary to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, especially if we have committed a mortal sin. When Jesus Christ came to the world, he established this with the apostles, and the successors of the apostles are the popes, priests. That is why Jesus, through the priest in the sacrament of reconciliation, forgives us. And one of the great benefits we receive in this sacrament is that the grace that was lost through sin is renewed. The sacraments are the abundant and inexhaustible sources of grace, and the only ones who can administer them by divine disposition are the priests. Why does the sacrament of confession purify us from sin? Many Protestants believe that this sacrament is not necessary, that we only should be repentant of our sins and they will be forgiven. Repentance is fundamental for the forgiveness of our sins, and since it is born in our heart, the mercy of God covers us. It is necessary to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, because that is where Jesus, through the priest, cleanses, purifies, heals, frees us, and renews the grace that we lost through sin. After the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Lord appeared to his apostles and said, "As the Father sent me, so am I sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained." John chapter 20, verses 21 to 23. According to St. John the Apostle, the first thing our Lord does after his resurrection, when he appears to his apostles, is to send them on a mission, sharing with them his divine authority through the Holy Spirit, so they may forgive sins in the name of Jesus Christ, with the power of Jesus Christ, in place of Jesus Christ, and by identification with Jesus Christ. That is, in other words, in persona Christi, to those who, with faith, trust, and humility, approach to seek God's forgiveness. That is why it is necessary to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, so that the priests, who continue the mission of the apostles, can give us God's forgiveness, with all the benefits that this implies for our souls and our lives. Why is it important to confess in person? When the priest gives us absolution from our sins, the Holy Spirit is poured out on us and applies to our soul the merits of the precious blood of Christ, which cleanses, purifies, heals, frees us, and renews us. And this only happens when we confess to a priest in person. Just like when we are sick and we need medical attention, the doctor or physician can only carry out some kind of intervention in favor of our health if we are present. But now you tell us what you think about the traps of Satan. Comment below and share your opinion. If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to the 99 Catholics channel. Thanks for your support. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.